Welcome to Tardi Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Yeshayahu, Perek 30. In the last Perek, Yeshayahu describes the siege of Ariel, Yerushalayim. We explained the Perek, according to the Radak, that this Perek was about Sancheirev and his sudden defeat by Hashem. Yeshayahu also describes the two character flaws of the leadership during Ahaz: apathy and a lack of belief in Hashem's awareness of what is occurring in this world. He ends the parak how that will change in the times of Chizkiyahu. This is the third parak that begins with the word hoy, which addresses a serious flaw in the Jewish people. In this parak, Yeshayahu tells Yehuda that they need to stop relying on Mitzrayim, Egypt, to save them from mutual enemies. The desire to form an alliance with Mitzrayim has been a recurring theme throughout Jewish history. It started with Shlomo, who married the daughter of Paro. Hoshea ben Ela from Malchus Yisrael tried to make an alliance to save himself from Ashur. Although it does not mention it in Sefer Melachim, according to the Radak, based on this parak, Ahaz tried to ally with Mitzrayim to fight Ashur, and there were those with influence in Chizkiyahu's court who wanted to do the same. This is an issue during the times of Yirmiyahu, as well as with Yoshiyahu and his sons. Finally, after the Chorban, after Gedaliah ben Achikam was killed, Yirmiyahu told the people not to go to Mitzrayim, but they went anyway. As with many of our previous parakim, there are vastly different interpretations of this parak, with Rashi and the Arba Avinel interpreting the parak to refer to Hoshea ben Ela from Yisrael, while Radak interprets the parak that the parak is talking about either Ahaz or Chizkiyahu. We will primarily be explaining the parak according to the Radak's approach, as we have done in previous parakim. Yeshayahu begins, Pasuk 1, Hoy banim sorim ne'um Hashem. Woe to the rebellious children, says Hashem. The people are called banim sorim, rebellious children. Chazal learned that when the Jewish people sin, they do not sever their relationship with Hashem. They still remain his children. Hashem only punishes and rebukes them from love and a desire to be close. What do they do? The Navi relays Hashem's message. Lasos etza v'lo mini. They take advice, but it's not for me. That word etza appears again. V'linsoch masecha v'lo ruchi. To put a shade on you, but it is not what I want. They wanted to get a shade to be protected by the king of Mitzrayim instead of by Hashem, which they wouldn't have needed if they were not sinners. If they were not sinning, no one would invade their lands. They should have done teshuva instead of turning to Mitzrayim. Their sin is that, Pasuk 2, Hahochim Laredes Mitzrayim. They go down to Mitzrayim without asking Hashem if this is the correct direction. They did not consult with the available Nevi'im, which is a direct act of rebellion against Hashem, who gives them that option. The help they seek from Mitzrayim does not come for free. They needed to pay large bribes and become a vassal of Egypt and be subject to their whims to gain protection. Very soon, their plan will prove to be a huge embarrassment. The psukim from 3 to 7 repeat how degrading this will be for Yehuda. It will not only be unhelpful, but it will attract negative attention from Egypt's enemies. The princes of Yehuda put themselves in danger. They had to travel through a treacherous desert full of lions and poisonous snakes to bring Egypt the king's treasury. The money they give away will buy them nothing in return, because, Pasuk 7, U'mitzrayim hevel v'rik yazoru. Mitzrayim helps in vain and to no purpose. The Mitzudas David points out that Mitzrayim not only cannot help because they are weaker than they claim, but they also do not want to help and will sabotage Yehuda. Mitzrayim has been and still are their enemies, no matter what they say. The Malbim says that their lack of reliability is not necessarily personal. Mitzrayim has been unreliable to any nation who has ever relied on them. They say they will do a lot, but do not follow through. Lachain karasi lezos. Therefore, I have called them, quote, Rahav Haim Shavas, unquote. They are haughty, but they are do-nothings who sit around. Mitzrayim combines two negative character traits that Hashem hates. They are arrogant. They promise they can help without being able to guarantee success. And they are lazy. They actually have no plan to help. Hashem commands Yeshayahu how to communicate this message to the nation. He should engrave it on a tablet and then write it in a book so that it will be a nevuah that will be saved for historical reference. The future generations need to know why their predecessors were punished, says Radak, that there was a sin that needed to be fixed. Psukim 9 through 11 describe their sin in more detail. This nation was, Pasuk 9, Amri, a rebellious people, as they asked for help from Paro without asking for help from Hashem through his Nevi'im. Banim kechashim, children who deny. They are the children of Hashem, yet they pretend that Hashem is not their father and that he is not involved in this world, and therefore they do not need to listen to him. part of the sin of the people is that they try to suppress the nevuah. They tell the Nevi'im, Pasuk 10, Lo sechazu lanu nechochos. Don't tell us what is correct. Instead, they want to guide the Nevi'im. Dabru lanu chalakos. Chazu mahasalos. Speak to us smooth things. Prophecy for us mockery. They want the Nevi'im to flatter them and give them good news that they're hearing from the Nevi'i Sheker, who they don't realize are actually mocking them. They whine and insist that they do not want bad news. Pasuk 11, Suri mine derech. Get out of the way, they say to the real Nevi'im. Stop telling us what Hashem wants from us day in and day out. Rav Schwab says that they feel this is a military issue, and the spiritual leaders, the rabbis, so to speak, should not meddle where they are not wanted. Hashbisu mipanenu es kadosh Yisrael. Remove from before us the Holy One of Israel. Stop making everything some religious value. In Psukim 12 through 14, Yeshayahu tells them what their punishment will be for rejecting Hashem and relying on their money to bribe Mitzrayim to save them. Yeshayahu gives them a mashal to help them understand the impact of their sin. Imagine a tall wall. In the middle of the wall is a point of weakness, a bulge. All the weight of the tall wall is putting pressure on that one spot, which weakens the whole wall. The strong wall can now be breached because of one tiny weak spot and is in danger of sudden collapse. When the wall breaks, it doesn't just buckle, it shatters. Pasuk 14. Kashever nevel yotzrim kasus lo yachmo. Like potter's vessel, it is broken, breaking it into pieces without sparing. Generally, when pottery breaks, people can use the pieces for some constructive purpose. But in this case, the pottery will have no good use. The sin of going to Mitzrayim for help is that point of weakness for Malchus Yehuda, which will shatter them. They think it is not a big deal. It's just a little weak spot, but it will lead to astonishing destruction. There is a principle. Ein somchin al hanes. One should not depend on miracles. Why are they being faulted for making alliances, which is a normal military strategy? The Ma'am Lois explains that the issue is not that they wanted to do hishtadlus, that they wanted to make efforts that would be reasonable to make. The problem was that they wanted to do hishtadlus and not need to have bitachon, faith in Hashem. Whenever a person does hishtadlus, it must be coupled with a belief that all outcomes are from Hashem. They need to put in their efforts, but the results are not actually tied to what they do. The Navi emphasizes that as a nation meant to make a kiddush Hashem, they can over-rely on Hashem. They can, Pasuk 15, b'shuva v'nachas tivasheyon, b'hashket uvavitra tiyegvaraschem. In sitting still and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and in confidence, that will be your strength. They have the option to just be, to relax and trust Hashem, to have bitachon. In the merits of their trust, they will be saved. If Yehuda would display bitachon, they would not need to fight or make any other plans. No, they decide they would rather have a backup plan. When the enemy attacks, they need to be ready. They want horses from Egypt if they need to run away from Ashur. Hashem tells them that since they are choosing to meddle with the plans, rather than relaxing and depending on him, that is exactly what is going to happen. They will now have to run away. It will be much worse than they anticipated. There will be only one city left, Yerushalayim, that will look like Pasuk 17, Katoren al Rosh Ahar, V'chanes al Hagiv'ah, like a mast on top of a mountain, like a flag on a hilltop. When you look from afar, you can see that one place that stands out from the rest of the area. This will be Yerushalayim, safe amidst all the destroyed cities. There will be two realities in Yehuda. The Rasha'im, who live in all the cities of Yehuda, actively chose Mitzrayim over Bitachon, so they will be punished. Once the punishment starts, Hashem will not hurry to stop it, and the cities of Yehuda will be destroyed. Hashem is the Elokei Mishpat, God of Justice. The punishment serves a purpose, and stopping it will not help the teshuvah process. In contrast, Yerushalayim, who never sent bribes and listened to the Nevi'im, Pasuk 18, Ashrei Kochoche Lo, happy are all that they wait for him. Those in Yerushalayim will be happy that they waited and listened to Hashem. All the other cities who did not ask the Navi what to do were killed. The nation living in Sion, Yerushalayim, Pasuk 19, B'cho lo tifkeh, they will cry no more. Chanon yachnecha l'kol za'akecha, he will graciously answer your cries. When Yerushalayim, led by Chizkiyahu, cries out to Hashem in tefillah and tshuva, Hashem will listen to them immediately, so that they do not need to mourn. After the salvation, under the righteous King Chizkiyahu, the people in Yerushalayim will live a different lifestyle that allows them to focus on Hashem. Pasuk 20. V'nasan lachem Hashem lachem tzar umayim lachatz. Hashem will give you scant bread and water. This seems not to be a blessing. Why would they want minimal bread and water? However, one of the blessings mentioned in Parshas Bechukosai is that people will feel full with less food. In Yerushalayim, they won't be running after material things like other places that were obsessed with going to parties. Plain bread and water will be enough. They will know whom they should regard as their teachers, and they will be privileged to learn from that teacher. V'hayu einecha ro'os es morecha. Your eyes will see your teachers. In previous Nevuos, we heard how Yehuda did not want to listen to the Nevi'im. Now they will listen to the Nevi'im. Pasuk 21. V'aznecha tishmana davar me'acharecha. Your ears will hear a word from behind you. The Mincha Gdola explains what this means, that they will hear something from behind them. The people will incorporate the world view of their teachers into their own perspectives to such an extent that it will be as if the teacher is whispering in their ear advice whenever they make decisions. And whereas before they didn't ask for advice, now whether they think it is best to go one way or not, or the other way, whether to go left or right, as it says in the Pasuk, they will listen to the Navi who tells them, Pasuk 21, Zeh Hadarach Lechuvo. This is the path to go on. The connection of these people to Hashem will continue to increase, and they will finally rid themselves of Avodah Zarah, which was an issue throughout the first Beis HaMikdash. Now they will reject all idols and recognize how impure they are. Like in the Torah, Yeshayahu promises tangible rewards for those following Hashem in Psukim 23 through 26. The Torah promises rain to those who follow the Torah. Yeshayahu promises an additional promise, that there will be, Pasuk 23, V'nasan mitzar zar'acha, rain given for the seed, asher tizra es ha'adama, that you plant in the ground. The Malbim explains that every crop needs a specific amount of rain. Hashem will make sure to target the rain exactly based on the plant and property, rather than just send rain to all of Israel. In addition, the ground will produce so many crops that the grains generally reserved for people will be enough for all the animals, including the work animals, the oxen and donkeys, whose feed is generally not processed. Before, Chizkiyahu stopped up the water supply to make sure that the besieging army would not have fresh water. Now there will be streams and rushing water on every mountain and in every valley. During the siege of Sancheirib, their lives were dark and depressing. The night Sancheirib's army died was actually the first night of Pesach. As Yerushalayim was up eating the Korban Pesach, they could not imagine the world they would see the next day. Now, Pasuk 26, V'haya or halavana k'or hachama, the light of the moon was like the light of the sun, V'or hachama yesh shivasayim k'or shivasayamim, and the light of the sun was seven times brighter than the light of the regular 7 days. The light seemed brighter than the natural light created during the 7 days of creation. Joy created a sense of brightness, as we say regarding our salvation from Haman at the hands of Mordechai and Esther. When we were saved, La'yehudim haisa ora v'simcha. The Jews had light and joy. Joy brings a perception of energy that we don't have otherwise. Psukim 27 through 33 describes in very poetic terms how Sancheirib and Asher will be destroyed. We will be explaining these psukim according to the Malbim. Pasuk 27. Hine Shem Hashem ba mimerchak. Behold, the name of Hashem comes from far. Hashem makes his presence felt in this world as he brought Asher from far away to threaten Yerushalayim. Hashem is said to have a burning anger, which is like thick smoke. The pasuk says his lips are full of indignation and his tongue is a devouring fire. Hashem presents as full of anger to the Jewish people. This is what the Assyrians saw, which emboldened them to fight. But really, Pasuk 28, V'ruchu k'nachal shotef, his spirit is like a river. Hashem really wants to put out the flames and not punish the Jewish people. In the end, he punishes Asher for what they did and not the Jewish people. Asher was defeated on the first night of Pesach. On that night in Yerushalayim, there will be celebration and joy. Pasuk 29, Hashir yelachem kelel hiskadesh chag. There will be a song for you like the holy night of Pesach. They will experience a miracle like the exodus from Egypt. They will be as happy as one who walks with a chalil, with a recorder, a wind instrument, at the time of Aliyah LeRegel, of going up to Yerushalayim, where they can anticipate seeing Hashem. The joy in Yerushalayim is happening because, Pasuk 30, V'hishmiya Hashem is hod kolo. Hashem caused the majesty of his voice to be heard in the camp of Ashur, which scared them. V'nacha zro'o yar'eh. And he will show his descending arm to strike this camp with fire and anger, water and hailstones. Hashem did not need weapons or battle plans. Pasuk 31. Ki mikol Hashem yechas Ashur. Because Ashur trembles from the voice of Hashem. Vashevet yakeh. And Ashur was broken by the staff of Hashem. When the Jews began their night of Pesach, they were singing and eating the Korban Pesach despite their fears. Then as they sang Hallel and thanked Hashem for the past, the Malach swept through the camp of Ashur and saved them once again. What happened to Sancheriv and his army? Ke'aruch me'asmol Tafteh. For Tafteh, which is a name for Gehenim, hell, was prepared for them from yesterday. Hashem had made Gehenim on the second day of creation. Radak says it was ready for Sancheriv, who had bragged in Perek 10 that he was the greatest and strongest king. Hashem had Ha'amik Yerchiv Midurasa, had widened and deepened its flames to be able to handle all of Asher's army. There will be punishments for those who fought against Yerushalayim as they deserve. In this parak, Yeshayahu warns the people that it is unhelpful to get help from Mitzrayim. Yerushalayim, who did not get help from Mitzrayim, was saved and received rewards for their bitachon. Ashur, who came to fight, were punished. One lesson from this parak is the importance of consulting the leaders we have. Yehuda refused to ask Yeshayahu, who was there, as they wanted to make the decision on their own. Ignoring the resources Hashem has given us in the forms of Talmidei Chachamim is not self-reliance. Having leaders with whom we could discuss our decisions to help gain clarity, as we have learned in this parak, is a gift from Hashem. We should try to use those gifts when we need to. In addition, we must remember that whatever efforts, whatever hishtadlus we make, must be done knowing that Hashem determines the outcome and we have followed what He would want. It is possible to profit from doing little work, and it's possible to fail when we do a lot of work. We need to realize that we must put in our efforts as defined by Hashem, and the results are always going to be up to Him. Thank you for learning together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.